And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 176, coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. As you listen to this, it will be happy 2015. Yeah, as I record this, it's a couple days after Christmas, and I didn't actually record a show last week, as I previously said. My intention was to have been in Ohio for the Christmas holiday, but that didn't happen. I ended up getting a winter flu kind of thing. Didn't want to get other people sick. I ended up staying home, played World of Warcraft all freaking weekend. Yeah, it feels like I've been doing nothing but playing WoW. I'm kind of recording in the kind of a lull here between bouts of going into the computer game, bouts of being asleep because I've been sleeping a lot, and just generally trying to feel better. At least my voice is back up to snuff today, at least a little bit better than it was earlier. I thought about recording this a little bit earlier, by Christmas Day, but my voice just wasn't up to it a couple of days ago, and it really, really sounded awful. Now, one of the upsides to having a lot of time to sit on my hands and not really do very much was I actually had a chance to watch some DVDs. One of the DVDs that I watched was one that was recommended to me by Manuel, who was, of course, one of our listeners, Manuel Carmona. And it was the Hulk versus DVD. And we had a conversation about this several months ago back on the Facebook group. And as always, I'm the last person to watch anything. I don't have time to watch TV. I don't have a TV, so I just kind of want to watch DVDs on my computer. And I don't like having TV or DVDs on as background noise. I'm really not the kind of person who likes to do that. I've done it. But anyway, I want to actually give my attention to a DVD. Now, this particular DVD is a Marvel Animation DVD from 2008. But you would think that the stories were written in 1997, 1998, the height of the extreme 90s. That's not necessarily a compliment coming from me, as you all know. So this DVD, this Hulk versus DVD, I'm going to talk about it for a few minutes here. Now, there's two stories on it. There's a Hulk versus Wolverine story. There's a Hulk versus Thor story. And rather than kind of parse them out, I'm going to talk about them both together for the most part. Now, there's a couple of big differences between these two stories, and that is the Hulk versus Wolverine story sucked ass. I mean, it really did. I mean, it was the worst thing I'd ever seen on DVD. The writing was abominable. The animation was terrible. The whole DVD, I have to say, the animation was substandard. I mean, it's got the cheapest South Korean studio doing this. It's really obvious. It's, you know, maybe 30 years ago, if you'd seen it, I'd say, God, that looks Japanese. No, but I mean, I recognize now that it's this horrible, like almost anime ripoff in the animation technique. Not so much in the art style. The art style is a whole different problem that we'll be addressing in a minute. But the Hulk Wolverine story was a piece of shit from beginning to end, a giant steaming turd. One of the biggest things that annoyed me about it was they didn't even make an effort to do a story. They really just had characters encounter each other and fight. There was no good plot. The what little plot was there to get Wolverine and Hulk in the same place at the same time and fighting. And in addition, we had, you know, this Weapon Alpha, or whatever his name is, the red guy, the communist guy with the whips from the 90s X-Men comics. And we had Deadpool, and we had Lady Deathstrike. We had sort of the all-stars of Wolverine's most annoying villains. And they weren't portrayed well, which is the worst part of it. I don't think that there's any such thing as a character that could never be portrayed well. Not even Chuck Churkle, who from the Simonson run, who is a character that I hate. And that's a strong thing for me to say. But you had these characters who I don't care for. And Wolverine, who I could care slightly more for, but I'm still not a big fan of. And basically, they fight for Acts 1 and 2, and then the story stops. There's no payoff. And when I say it stops, I mean it just stops in the middle. There's no ending to the story. One of the kind of the central tenets of storytelling, as far as I'm concerned, is that your story needs to have a beginning, middle, and end. This story had no end. I mean, it kind of got up to the end of Act 2, and then kind of is done. And it just seems to me just incredibly sloppy to release a DVD it doesn't have a complete story on it. And the only thing I can think of is that they knew that the audience for this wouldn't care. I mean, this is a babysitter DVD. This is for little kids. And I found it just dreadful as far as the Hulk Wolverine story. Now, the Hulk Thor story, it was a little bit better, but that's not saying much. It still wasn't good. And I'm not even talking about what happened in the story, because I don't care about what happened in the story. The problem is that the writing was really bad. The characterization was off. The animation was really poor. And the fact that they had the Hulk beat Thor, it came naturally out of the story.
I think you could argue that Thor had been beaten just as badly by the Destroyer or the Absorbing Man in the comics. I think you could make that argument. But Thor always comes back and wins, and that happens here too.
And I kind of get it, because I think we talked about this on the Facebook group way back when, but it's the Hulk's DVD. People who are buying this DVD for their kids, it's because their kid likes the Hulk. It's not because their kid was a big fan of Thor. This is pre-Thor, the motion picture series. So obviously the Hulk has a much higher profile at this point than Thor does. This is probably one of the cash-ins for one of the Hulk movies. And generally, I mean, there were some things I liked about it. Let me talk about what I liked about it. I like to see some of the characters animated, which is the first time that I've seen the Warriors 3 animated and the first time that I've seen Sif animated. And, maybe that's just because I don't watch these sort of Marvel animated films. Maybe they'd had them before. This came at the time when we had the Straczynski Kuiper run going on, and they kind of tried to at least graphically evoke that, even though they didn't do a very good job of it. Like I said, there's this weird kind of a fake anime style, and I didn't care for it. The artwork for the Thor story was actually a little bit better than the artwork for the Wolverine story. I didn't like the artwork in the Wolverine story at all. I mean, to me, it was just ugly. Animation was bad. They at least tried to make a little bit of effort with the Thor story, though I still didn't care for it. And I don't think on the basis of this that I'm going to watch any more of these Marvel DVDs. I'll be honest with you. I thought the quality just wasn't there. Now, at least the Thor story had a beginning, middle, and end that made sense. They had the kind of the contrived thing of getting the Hulk to Asgard. Well, who would you think would have brought the Hulk to Asgard? Come on. Do you have any doubt for 1 second who would have brought the Hulk to Asgard? And it wasn't Odin. No. Odin's a dick, but he's not that much of an ass. No, it was Loki, of course. Loki, Mr. One-Dimensional himself. All of the characters work very flat. And that's one of the problems that I had with the writing. There was very, very little depth. About the depth of your average Saturday morning cartoon from the 1990s. And I think that's what this was. I mean, certainly that's the level it was written at. And, I hate to say it, Manuel, it was a waste of my time. I mean, at least I didn't pay anything. I got it on Netflix. And, I just didn't care for it. So, if you decide you want to watch it, your mileage may vary as always. I tend to have pretty strong opinions, and this is something that, I came out of watching this hour and a half DVD feeling as though I'd wasted an hour and a half of my life. And I don't like feeling that way about something portraying characters I like. So, so much for that.
All right, so we are going to be barreling on into the Bronze Age this week. And, of course, we're going to be immediately leaving the Bronze Age again. This is the like I said, right at the first story of the Bronze Age, a.k.a. the last story of the Silver Age in Marvel. And so let's just go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
And this week we are looking at the Mighty Thor number 181. Retailed for 15 cents. Cover date was October of 1970. Cover art by John Buscema and Joe Sinnott shows Thor, well, Thor Loki, anyway, attacking the UN, and Baldur's there, and we see, yeah, because of the UN, you have people in exaggerated foreign dress. We have a kind of a racist Arab caricature and a racist Indian caricature. And we have Loki Thor standing up on this giant pedestal, and he's blasting the front like podium where the speaker speaks. No one can stop me. I have power now to rule the world. And somebody's like, clear the UN. Run for your lives. It's God versus God. And Baldur's kind of coming after Thor with his sword swinging. You'll never prevail. Not while one Asgardian lives. And we have a cover blurb. One God must fall. And we open up to the splash page where we have the credits. Stan Lee was the author. Neil Adams was the artist. Joe Sinnott was the inker. And Artie Simek was the letterer. And we pick up right where we left off last issue, where we have Thor, Loki, the Warriors 3 and Sif in the realm of Mephisto. And if you remember last time, we saw that Mephisto had frozen Thor Loki in this sort of block of ice thing, and he's kind of trapped in the middle of casting a spell by Mephisto. And you get a little bit of an explanation blurb here. No, this is not evil Loki, but Thor, trapped within the god of evil's body by a sinister spell and frozen in the netherworld by multi-powered Mephisto. Now, while Loki, in the guise of Thor, ravages the planet Earth, those who love him the most attempt to rescue the hapless God of Thunder. And that is a really good summary of last issues. That's why I read it. And Sif is like, free him, Mephisto, for he is really Thor.
Never, he is mine, now and forever, says Mephisto.
And they're trying to attack Mephisto, but he decides he's just going to, like, blip, disappear, and their weapons just pass right through him.
Fools, you cannot attack the monarch Mephisto. Here in this realm, I am supreme.
And Fandral says, even as he speaks, the figure doth vanish.
He hath been driven to flight by fear of a lunist Volstagg.
As Volstagg kind of comes from behind.
Blundering oaf, you offend both my eyes and my ears. Therefore, be gone.
And Mephisto blasts Volstagg with a couple magical bolts, and Volstagg vanishes. And, of course, we have to have somebody speaking the obvious here. In this case, it's Sif.
While we hopelessly watch, Volstagg doth vanish.
We must find Mephisto, no matter the cost.
Not all the horrors of hell shall deter us.
And the three of them, which is to say Fandral, Hogan, and Sif, go running away, leaving Thor Loki behind. And Thor Loki is still conscious within his little ice block, and he's thinking to himself,
"'Tis for me that they thus risk their lives, whilst here stands Thor, helpless, trapped in the body of Loki."
And we get a recap page. And one of the things I actually kind of like this is that, you know, Neil Adams has drawn the recap almost in a Kirby style, which is kind of cool because the images that he's showing actually go back to that last Lee Kirby issue. And we have Thor, and he's being attacked by the magical mask thing that changes his face. And, you know, if it had just changed his face, then there wouldn't even be a story here. So apparently there's a lot more than, Obviously, they explain it here. Let me just go ahead and read the captions here.
How well I remember the mystic clay from within the evil one's case. He's talking about the mask. Ere I could move, it had covered my head, and thereby began the enchantment.
Yeah, so here's what really happened.
I became Loki, and he turned to Thor, and so it hath been ever since. And now I stand in hell, condemned to such fate by Odin himself, whilst treason and evil have triumphed.
And we go back to the Warriors 3 here, and they're kind of attacking Mephisto again, I guess, which is kind of odd. I guess in this case, Mephisto had just sort of vanished, and they are picked up by these tendrils, and Mephisto is kind of playing with them like marionettes. So Fandral and Hogan are just kind of dancing in the air here.
Hogan, 'tis of no avail. Our blows are useless. Aye, and aye again. We cannot smash what we cannot see. Up above us, look you, Fandral.
Dance as guardians, like puppets bound with string. Now do you see how hopeless is your cause?
And while he's playing with Hogan and Fandral, Sif manages to kind of sneak through and is kind of going towards Thor Loki here.
None but Thor can hope to save us, but first he must be freed. Though it costs my life, I shall not fail my loved one. Courage, my lord, the blade of Sif shall strike for thee.
And she runs up to, you know, he's trapped in this ice or whatever it is, and starts whacking at it with her sword, with a thack and a zterk. And he's trying to break it open. Thor Loki is aware of what's going on here.
My lady, steel cannot match her spirit, but within the mystic mind of Loki, there is another way. In Loki's name, let the blade of Sif be hurled at the dragon who lurks beyond.
So, this is the first time we've seen that there's a dragon beyond. But anyway, so Thor Loki casts some sort of a spell, and knocks Sif's sword away and into the neck of this hellish dragon thing.
"'Twill most certainly enrage the beast. 'Twill make him turn. 'Twill make him strike. And so begins the plan."
And this monster, who is busy fighting other monsters here in Mephisto's realm, gets all pissed off, and he starts to attack where Thor Loki is trapped. And the dragon attacks the ice block, and it looks for all the world like he's trying to deep throat it.
And so begins the plan, thinks Thor.
And Sif is kind of watching this go on.
He doth attack the helpless Thor, and I have no blade to give him pause. But wait, his flame doth melt the enchanted ice.
Oh, I guess it is ice.
Then this is what my love intended. Both ice and beast do slowly vanish. Soon my lord shall be free.
And this, with this rather bad piece of logic, the ice would defeat a dragon in hell, and the dragon would also defeat the ice. Loki Thor breaks free with a free! And I'm not sure how he does this, but Loki Thor, or Thor Loki, whatever it is, he gives her sword back, and I guess he pulled it out of the melting dragon's neck. I don't know. Basically, the sword just kind of appears out of nowhere.
Yon blade is thine again, fair Sif. Ne'er has thy valor failed me.
But still thou art trapped within the form of Loki.
But not for long, my lady. The game plays on, and ere it ends, the victor shall be Thor!
And we see Mephisto, and he's getting all angry, and he's making this really dramatic pose that's kind of important in a minute.
Nay, Thor cannot win, not while Loki still plunders the earth in the body of the God of Thunder. Even as I speak, he flings his challenge to all mankind.
And we shift scenes to the UN building, where we have Thor Loki in exactly the same pose as Mephisto was in the prior panel. It's a nice artistic device. It's the kind of thing that we can expect from Neil Adams. I kind of wish that he'd drawn more Thor, I have to say. I do, at least for the most part, dig this artwork.
All ye who trod the earth shall be my slaves, is shouting Thor. Let humanity tremble before the power of Thor.
And there's soldiers coming up from outside, and they're kind of trying to break their way into the giant amphitheater. And they've got this weird Kirby cannon sort of thing. It'll kind of knock down the door. apparently Thor threw up a defensive field, which I don't think is one of his powers. Okay, so I'm not really sure what's going on here. It's just a little bit sloppy.
Anything can be happening in there, says one of the soldiers.
Keep firing. We've got to get through. It's no use. Nothing can penetrate the defensive field Thor threw around the hall, see?
And we cut to the inside, and the delegates, far from just kind of doing what Thor wants, they're kind of defying him. We have this guy in the foreground who's really obviously French, even though he's not, he doesn't actually have a bad French accent, which is probably a step up for Marvel at this point.
Thunder God or not, not even you can impose your will upon Oliver's sovereign nations.
Summon the guards. Seize him. The madman must be punished.
Will ye to no god, no alien, no one.
Thy raucous voices are like the braying of mindless cattle. The fury is thine, but the power is mine. Powers ye have never known, such as ye can never imagine.
And he summons down a thunderstorm inside the UN building, and there's lightning striking all around, and it's just kind of interesting inside the building.
The thunder and lightning are his to command.
He's unleashing a savagery in a storm. It's like the end of the world.
And now I shall. But wait, who calls?
And it turns out to be Baldur, as we kind of know from the cover.
Tis I, impostor. I, the one who thou didst not slay. Baldur, I spared thee once. Not again shall I be so merciful.
Thy words are lies. Thou didst seek to slay me, but were too careless. And now, by my blade, thou shalt pay the price.
And Loki, Thor, blast a kind of ray beam out of Mjolnir.
Not even Baldur can threaten me. Not whilst the power of Mjolnir is mine. And kind of misses him.
And Baldur's making light of this.
Aye, Loki has stolen the power. But see how slow and how awkward thy thrust. The skill still is Thor's, and not thine.
Not even within the Thunder God's body is Loki the equal of the mighty Thor.
And that pisses Thor Loki off. And he's like,
I'll hear no more. Know ye thou hast sealed thy doom. I need not the Thunder God's power to crush thee. Mine own deadly spell will silence thee forever. So by the mystic might of Loki, now shall Baldur fall.
And he goes to cast a spell at Baldur. But it doesn't work because he's forgotten he's Thor, so he can't cast spells.
My spell! What madness can this be? It hath failed me!
Baldur just jumps on this one.
Victim art thou art of thine own evil trap.
While in the body of Thor, the magic of Loki hath left thee.
And now I have tricked thee into admitting thy true identity for all to hear.
What doth it matter?
And he starts whirling his hammer around, summoning up some Kirby Crackle. This is better than the Kirby Crackle that we've seen in the last couple Kirby issues.
The choice is most clear. All must serve me or die.
And he's getting ready to cause some havoc inside the UN building. And we cut back to Mephisto's realm, where we have the Warriors 3. Well, we have two of them anyway. And Sif. And they are trapped in force bubbles, which are actually protective spells, I guess, that are cast by Thor Loki. Well, maybe not. No, I guess Mephisto has trapped them in these sort of force bubbles, and Thor Loki is trying to free them by blasting them with some sort of magic. I guess that's what's going on here.
I command you, Asgardian, desist.
Not till thou hast freed us, each one.
Fool, your feeble spells cannot save those whom Mephisto has doomed. Be you Loki or be you Thor, it matters not. I am Mephisto, I am evil incarnate, and midst the flames I am equal to Odin.
My very soul doth cringe to hear thee mouth my father's name. Now shall we see whose is the power. The time hath come to draw upon Loki's mystic skill, for I must shrink my physical form till the body is nothing and the soul is all.
And he is doing just that. He's kind of just energy cascading around him, and his body is shrinking to like doll size here. And as he does that, it just shines brighter and brighter. And Mephisto was repulsed by this. He's like, no! And we see the, you know, he's kind of glowing like a sun, but we see a ghostly image of Thor, which I guess is just his inherent Thor goodness kind of beaming at Mephisto here.
It is the only weapon against which I have no defense. The overwhelming aura of goodness unrestrained, of purity of soul, of noble heart. Enough, enough, I can stomach no more. Out, gout, get out of my sight, out of my world. You are free, free, all of you.
And what of Volstagg? Where is he?
Take him, it matters not. Begone, begone. The stench of goodness sickens me.
While he's saying this, Volstagg appears and you know, kind of a little glow here.
The oaf is yours. Now go.
And Volstagg, of course, is full of bluster as always.
Aha! Not even thee would dare imprison Volstagg for too long.
Where did he send thee, Mountainous One? Asks Hogan.
For thy safety we did fear. Art thou well enough to flee this wretched place?
Am I not Volstagg? Is my prowess not legend amongst the cosmos? Am I not a stranger to cowardice or fear?
But what of Mephisto, fearless one? He doth again approach.
Mephisto, again? Surround me as guardians! Protect him from my wrath! Make haste! Make haste!
And they're having a good laugh at all this. Mephisto has transported them in his evil magic to the Rainbow Bridge. And we see the group of them, five of them, I guess, appearing on the Rainbow Bridge. And who should we have on the Rainbow Bridge but Heimdall, the guardian of the Rainbow Bridge? Where else would we see Heimdall? And we get this is kind of our first glimpse here of our post-Kirby Asgard, which, not surprisingly, looks a lot like Kirby Asgard. It's definitely in that vein. You know, the space is full of Kirby crackle and suns and planets and stuff.
Hold and be recognized. So speaks Heimdall, guardian true of Bifrost.
They're approaching Heimdall and we're having a little conversation here between Sif and Thor Loki.
My lord, whilst thou art in the guise of Loki, Heimdall will not let thee pass.
Trouble thyself not, my lady. Whilst thou and thy companions enter the Golden Realm, I must return to Earth to prevail or die.
Odin be with thee, noble prince, says Fandral.
So, I find this really weird that, you know, the Warriors 3 and Sif will just, okay, yeah, we'll just go home now. You go to Earth by yourself. That's not very true to the characters, to my guess, but anyway, I should be talking about this at the end, shouldn't I? So Thor Loki transports himself back to Earth, and we see him shooting through Kirby space and all that.
In truth, I feel the All-Father is with me ever. For am I not flesh of his flesh, blood of his blood?
And so Thor Loki is hurtling back to Earth. And we cut to Odin's throne room, and Odin's like,
fear not, good vizier. I know full well what hath come to pass.
Then thou hast heard of Loki's base betrayal, sire?
Odin need not hear. Odin hath only to know.
So why didn't he know last time? Anyway, so we come back to Earth where Baldur is fighting Thor in the UN. And, you know, really, when you think about it, a battle between Baldur and Thor, there can only go one way, really. I mean, it'll be a good battle, but Thor is ultimately going to prevail. And that seems to be what's going on here. And we have Loki, Thor, and he's getting ready to smash Baldur's head in. But it looks like Baldur's pretty much had it. You know, he's kind of hanging there. And we have Loki, Thor, arriving just in time.
Even now, the eye of my mind sees Earth, where evil Loki in the form of Thor doth fell the loyal Baldur. But retribution now draws near, and all shall soon be well.
You know, Loki, Thor, is being hauled away in a bubble. And his dialogue here is weird. He says,
I am drawn away in a mystic bubble of mine own creation.
And he kind of hauls him outside to a nearby construction site. And so we have, Thor, Loki versus Loki, Thor.
Aye, Lord of Evil, the power of Loki didst create yon bubble to bring thee to me that we may wage the final battle.
Aye, and final it shall be, for naught but thy death shall this time stay my hand.
And we have a shot here, the construction workers kind of looking on. Very, very kind of stereotypical Neil Adams sort of layout. It's nice stuff.
And Loki Thor is thinking to himself, I must goad him until he hurls enchanted Mjolnir.
And he picks up a giant rock, and I never didn't think Loki was actually that strong, but I could be wrong.
What? Thinkest thou to fell me with a boulder? I guess he could be using magic. Hast thou so soon forgot the power of mine hammer?
Loki Thor picks up the Mjolnir and smashes the boulder, and Thor Loki's thinking,
It doth not leave his hand, alas. Thus I must try again.
And Loki Thor is really pissed off by this, and he picks up a giant steam shovel. Now that's something you don't see anymore, a steam shovel. When's the last time anybody saw a steam shovel? And then we get a full page spread here, a nice splash here of Thor picking up this giant steam shovel with one hand. There's a lot of good to say about this one page splash.
For thou canst merely lift a boulder. Look you what the newly acquired might of Thor can do. How much sweeter the triumph will surely be, since thou shalt be crushed by the very power that had once been thine.
Now, I would say that he'd be getting crushed by a steam shovel, but anyway. He throws the steam shovel at Loki. Loki manages to somehow get out of the way by swinging from a wrecking ball. So, yeah, shades of Miley Cyrus by way of Tarzan. Ooh, ouch. It's not really clear where this wrecking ball came from.
Ha! Thou art elusive like the frightened fawn. But soon thou must tire, and then shall come thy fall.
The hammer. He must throw the hammer.
Loki Thor is thinking to himself.
Save thyself now, brother of evil.
And Loki pitches the wrecking ball at Thor. Or Loki Thor, whatever. It's so confusing, folks. And Loki Thor does this sort of baseball thing and whacks the wrecking ball away with Mjolnir and deflects it.
A task most simply done, and then there's a giant spatang.
And he's still holding on to the hammer.
The hammer still is his, but yet I shall prevail.
And Thor Loki gets into a bulldozer and he's kind of driving right at Loki Thor full speed here.
Thy puny efforts weary me. Now feel the rage of Mjolnir.
And so finally we have Loki Thor whips Mjolnir, destroys the lower half of this bulldozer, and just kind of knocks it right off its wheels. And Loki Thor's thinking, 'tis done.
The hammer hath been thrown. The chance is mine. I must not fail, and fail I shall not.
And he leaps at Loki Thor, gets to fight hand to hand.
Now shalt thou stand or fall, for the die is truly cast.
I weep for thee, O doomed one, for thou art truly mad.
And Thor, Loki, just bashes Loki Thor's head, just smashes him right down in the ground. Thor Loki's thinking to himself,
though I cannot match his thunderous strength, still must I fight on.
And now, stepbrother, the time has come. Prepare to meet thine end.
And Loki Thor's, seems like he's going to win. And he's kind of given his Loki body a black eye.
I shall not fall. I shall not fall, says Thor Loki.
I say thee nay, accursed one. Now thou shalt fall forever. Why struggle thou so? Know you not the cause is lost?
And he raises his fist, Loki Thor raises his fist up as though to smash Thor Loki for good. And something happens here, which is kind of what Thor had in mind all along. And that is 60 seconds have passed. And so Loki Thor changes back to Dr. Blake. Interestingly enough, now it should be the other way around, but I'm not complaining.
There is the answer, evil one. Mjolnir hath left thee for more than 60 seconds, and so it must change to a simple stick once more. There is thine answer, evil one. Mjolnir hath left thee for more than 60 seconds, and so it must change to a simple stick once more. And when it does, the mortal form of Donald Blake appears, and the godly spirit that is Thor must rejoin me once again.
And so he changes back to Dr. Blake, and that causes the two souls, I guess, to go back to their own bodies.
And the godly spirit that is Thor must rejoin me once again, for such is Odin's spell, says
Blake. And he goes lunging for the stick. Now, I guess he's forgotten that he's supposed to be lame. But because we're kind of doing this sprint towards the walking stick.
And now, while Loki stands in shock, I have but to reach the stick and hold it in my hands again.
And he grabs the stick, bangs it on the ground, and he changes back into Thor. And you get a really very Kirby-esque scene here of Dr. Blake changing into Thor.
There is nothing in Asgard or Earth I cannot do, for I stand as Thor, the rightful God of Thunder. And what of thee, vile villain? Do you choose to fight or yield? 'Tis all the same to me.
I do not fight. I do not yield. My hatred shall sustain me.
And we get a close-up of Loki's face, his big old black eyes, all swollen shut. He's got a couple fat lips here. And yeah, he's kind of beat himself up, literally.
I leave thee now to plan anew. For sure as night must follow day, victory shall yet be mine.
And he does this magic spell, Ajax White Tornado thing. And Loki, not Thor Loki or Loki Thor, but Loki has vanished. And we just kind of wrap it up in one panel here.
Mayhap my brother spake the truth, but so long as I be Thunder God, evil shall ne'er triumph.
Next issue, Dr. Doom and Dr. Blake. And that is Thor number 181. And, of course, we do have a few words to say about it. But before we do that, we got a promo.
Hey, Kiss Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved?
We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do. We still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey, Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey, Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
And we're back. So, yeah, just a few words to say about it. I've been doing commentary kind of as we go in this issue, so don't have a ton to say. Obviously, I mean, compared to the last few Lee Kirby issues, this is actually pretty good. I mean, it's a basic story. Artwork, though, is really, really good. I mean, obviously, Neil Adams is at the top of his game here. I mean, it's not the absolute best Neil Adams artwork, but I think part of that stems from the fact that in a lot of these panels, he's actually trying to draw a little bit like Kirby. He's trying to have that little bit of continuity. And that shows especially where I said, you know, in the flashback to the last Lee Kirby issue, where, you know, the panels that Kirby drew are actually, they look like the panels that Kirby drew. And we definitely have some sequences here of Neil Adams trying to draw like Jack Kirby. Now, it's a little bit annoying that he doesn't just draw like Neil Adams for the whole issue. I mean, he should stick to one or the other. I mean, it doesn't always work when you kind of jumping back and forth between art styles. By and large, I like the art a lot. The way that, you know, you can count on Neil Adams to draw something is going to look real. And that's one of the things I like about the issue where we have, for example, the splash page here on page 16 of Thor lifting up a steam shovel in one hand. This is obviously photo referenced. And you can tell that, you know, Adams actually researched what a steam shovel should look like from underneath. Because, I mean, it's utterly, utterly realistic. And, you know, I mean, you don't really see, like, Thor getting his hand covered in grease, but I mean, that's basically what's going on here. But yeah, I mean, obviously, how much bigger a difference can you find from a Jack Kirby comic than a realistic bulldozer, a realistic steam shovel? And when he throws the steam shovel, it's realistically breaking. I mean, the way it's breaking is realistic as well. Some weird things about it, like this weird Tarzan thing that Thor Loki does with the wrecking ball, doesn't seem very realistic, especially when you figure that the wrecking ball, why would they have a wrecking ball on a construction site? You know, I can understand why they would have a steam shovel. I understand why they would have a bulldozer. but a wrecking ball and a construction site? I mean, it doesn't look like there's anything standing here to wreck. But I don't know. I guess I could be wrong. I mean, it could be. Maybe in the 60s that was common. You know, to me, I've always seen that, you know, a wrecking ball is there, you know, when you're actually tearing the building down and then really immediately leaves. Because you have to have a big old crane. You have to, there's a lot of stuff you have to swing a wrecking ball. And that's sort of at odds with what you would need for to have your bulldozer and your steam shovel for. So, you know, those bits of machinery don't belong together. That's a severe nitpick, as well drawn as it is. And I'm going to just say this is probably not Stan Lee's doing. I mean, I'm guessing that somebody said, this will be cool. We have a fight on a construction site. And Neil Adams drew the best fight on a construction site that he could. And it's fun. You know, it's really good. All right. So I really don't have a lot more to say. So thanks very much for listening, folks. And once again, I hope you all had a very, very Merry Christmas. Nice holiday. You know, this will be going on New Year's Day. I hope you have a very safe New Year's Eve. Don't drink and drive. And, of course, you know, it's New Year's Day as you're hearing this, so hopefully you didn't drink and drive. And, so we can now return to back to our little bit of a normal schedule after the holidays. All right. So, once again, thanks very much for listening. And, of course, if you want to email the show, please feel free to do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. Remember, we are still looking for people to give their thoughts on the Lee Kirby era. We're going to be covering that at some point, doing a little wrap-up show for that. So let us know what you think. And of course, feel free to contact us on Facebook with the Radio Free Asgard group there. All right. And with that, I'm back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.